Welcome to Primrose Lane podcast about the real paranormal events that inspired the making of the film Primrose Lane and the ongoing series The Passage. I'm the filmmaker, Kathleen Davison, and I'm joined with my co-host for this series, Pamela Beatty, who is a paranormal specialist. Good morning, Pamela.
Good Saturday morning to you.
Woohoo. Sun is shining. We're going to talk creepy now. So, in this episode, please, if you're just tuning in, go back to the beginning. If you go to the Primrose Lane movie page on Facebook and you scroll down in the comment section, you'll see links to all of the episodes. And please start at the beginning because this is serial and we don't want to give you plot spoilers and you're picking us up deep into the plot. So go back to the beginning. And for those of you who have followed us, we're gonna carry on today and talk a little bit about something that, you know, you've followed us, you know about this dark entity that has a hell of a libido for one and can be pretty darn invasive for another, who impacted, you know, there were experiences with both investigation teams, as you know, if you've followed along, with a multitude of both investigators and visitors and residents of the home were affected by, literally touched by this guy. And then we found out, as we shared in the reveal, that not only did both investigative teams pick up on him, when Pamela and Patty, specifically Pamela in this case, when Pamela encountered him on her first visit, she was basically giving a character breakdown of this character that I had written, not just for the pilot episode, the film, but for the whole ongoing first season. I had, you know, roughed out the treatment and the plot progression, and she was basically giving me a character breakdown of one of my principal characters, and the character is of Evald, and it's played by Sean Galushka. And so I've revisited this so many times and questioned, my God, what happened? I thought it was fiction. I thought it was pure fiction that I was writing. So then to find that there were so many parallels and you know, very specific connections to this thing that I had written as experienced by all of these different people really left me scratching my head. So, Pamela, let's start there. Can you talk a little bit about your opinion of you know, what was going on there?
Well, first off, the way I see what happened during that whole process for you, not just this one character, is that you weren't writing the characters were writing for you. So it's, they were, you were intuitively picking them up. You were, yes, hold on just a second. We got seem a little, there we go. You want to start over?
Realized, nah, let's just keep going.
Okay,
awesome. Realized we had a fan on, forgive us for that.
It's a little loud. We'll just freeze. Yeah. It's okay here in the studio. But really, it was you intuitively picking up on what was going on in the house and writing a story about it. I mean, that it's, you picked up on that character. You weren't consciously aware that he was there, but your subconscious was aware that he was there, and you were just writing how you see him. And honestly, that's how I think most writers write.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not just, I mean, we have help from the other side, and you were, oh, I just got this. Oh, I just got goosebumps. Awesome. Okay.
She's tapping in, too. It's always a delightful mystery.
It's like, did you accidentally get there? Did serendipity happen? What happened? And I just saw it. It's, you were guided there by the ghost of Kathleen's past. You were guided there by spirit guides. This was a home that needed to be cleared. And they used your intuition to tell a story, which therefore, within that story, these characters hopefully would be released and be given their freedom and be able to cross over. I mean, there are beings on the other side that know everything, right? Mm-hmm. So they were playing the whole story out, and it's something you agreed to do before you even came in the body, even with the darkness. And the whole story was written before you even entered the body. Now, what the story was it And by the way, they did let you have some creative liberty.
Gee, thanks. Do I get any credit in this?
Well, that's why I wanted to make sure.
I've won Best Original Screenplay many times. I thought maybe that was mine, but apparently
you had
it is
help.
A shared.
But
it
listen,
is a shared accolade.
Yeah, but you had help, just like all the rest of us in the world have help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're no different. Every writer that has ever written anything,
mm-hmm.
it's they tap in, they get all the credit because you're able to tap into the higher consciousness and tap into the truth and reality. And because you're able to tap into that reality, you can write an illusional story.
Mm.
So you wrote the reality about the illusion, if that makes sense.
Well, and I know...
Or you wrote the illusion about the reality. I guess it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
They have to... That guy is like... Just like he's on top of me when every time we do one of these podcasts, he's on top of that actor and influencing it. Does the actor have knowledge of it? Does the actor get credit for their performance? Absolutely. But that darkness can tap into you. It's like, you know, we talked about Heath Ledger and how he tapped into...
Well, you have to share it again because that's part of what was,
oh, was
affected.
It?
So you have to go back there.
Well, when The Dark Knight, when Heath Ledger was doing The Dark Knight, mm-hmm. the character was so dark and so evil and so void of any feeling. That's exactly where Heath Ledger went. Well, when he did, he opened the door for these dark, void of love beings to influence him. And then he lost himself in that. He lost his own identity because he didn't spend time filling himself with love. And he didn't spend time... Sorry, he's at it again.
Yeah.
He didn't spend time out of the darkness. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, as an actor, if you're going to play that dark of a character, as a writer, if you're going to write something dark, you better spend just as much time into the light because you're going to... They influence us whether we believe in them or not.
So you've added a new level of practice for actors, especially
yes.
method actors, that in addition to completely trying to immerse yourself in the character, you have to balance that with a responsibility to protect yourself, essentially, through practices of what? Give us an example. I mean, how can you go there and bring truth and authenticity to a role and still remain protected for yourself?
Well, you can stay in character all day long, mm-hmm. but it's when you leave the set mm-hmm. that you have a responsibility to yourself and to all the other people on the set to... Go home, meditate. It doesn't take forever. I mean, I'm talking 10 minutes. And just fill yourself with light, fill yourself with love. Come up with a mantra. My favorite one is, I'm surrounded by the pure white light of the Christ. Only good can come to me. Only good can come from me. I bless you and send you to your highest good. Do a mantra. Do a meditation. Don't light candles, by the way.
Why is that?
Oh, it's a demonic, candles are a demonic ritual. So if you're
really?
Playing, yeah, if you're playing a darkness, don't light a whole bunch of white candles.
Daggone it, I like candles. You're telling me I should get rid of my candle?
No, that's not what I said. What I said was when you're dealing with the darkness, it's like when you know you have to go really dark to write that character.
It's moth to the flame? Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So light, you can still have candles, just don't make them white. Because white candles to the demonics, the beings that are demonic, that means, oh, goody, goody, devil worshiping, here we come.
Wow.
So just don't make them white candles. You can still light them. Just keep them colored candles, that's all. And then, you know, you take sea salt and baking soda bath. You stand in the shower and you just visualize filth and dirt just flowing off of you and see it in the bottom of the tub just coming out, the dirt and the nastiness. And do that ritual, you know, at the end of every day. And if you can't, I mean, you take a shower sometimes, so, you know, when you do it, and then cleanse your spirit, and then you're going to laugh, go outside and hug a tree.
Connect with nature.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll ground you. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's so funny you say, I have to mention something. I have to go there. So one of the things in this character of Ewald, this dark character, he is defined by a number of characteristics. One is that he's got this enormous libido and a sense of sexuality about everything, but including nature, so that to him, a tree is sexual. Everything has a sexual context.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean if you're in his character,
mm-hmm.
if you're an actor and or you're a writer and you're writing it and you're right in the middle of the character, no, don't go hug a tree. When you're not in that character, when you've done the ritual of the light, then you can be in nature, just not at the time you're being the darkness. Like, if you're in the middle of a scene, you're the actor that played this wonderful human being. If you're the actor that played him, you're not going to run outside during takes and hug a tree, because he would like that. Stay in the character, and then after you're finished for the day, then go do it.
Okay. Well, let's talk then about this energy draw, because you were saying not to feed, not to fuel the darkness. We've talked in other episodes about not giving darkness your fear and empowering it with that. So, because we have a character who becomes a principal player through the whole first season of the show. Do you have any suggestions? And not just for us in this scenario, but for writers who have to delve into very dark matter. You've talked about the ritual and letting it go. But what about the time that we have to spend really diving in and being present and communing with this stuff? You know, I feel like as a writer, we need that balance in the world of dark and light. We need to present it. It's part of our experience and authenticity and truth.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, now you put the fear of God in me that I'm giving my energy. I'm giving inordinate amounts of energy to this character who is really the leading principal male character through the first season, at least right now, as it's written. Might have to rethink it as to talking to you. But you know, do you have any reflections on
well,
that?
Absolutely, you have to do it. That's the whole purpose of the writer. That's the whole purpose of the actor, is to reveal to mankind what the truth is. That's the whole point. And of course, you have to do. Let's say you spend 8 hours a day writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 hours. What are you going to do for the next 15 minutes? Just stop. You know, if you're writing during the day, when you're done, step outside, throw your arms out to the side, feel the light of the sun flowing in your body. It's just like an actor doesn't stay in character all day. I mean, if you're in the scene, you might.
Mm-hmm.
But on the weekends, they don't. And it's just embrace the light when you're not there, and it will release it. It's like, of course you have to fully embrace yourself in the darkness. You know, when I'm working with clients, I fully embrace myself in the darkness, but I don't take it with me. It's kind of like the art of detachment. You're detaching from it. You're unplugging.
Can't you negotiate a deal? This is Hollywood. You're in touch with this entity. Can't we appease him? Look, you get to be a star. We're giving you some props. Leave us alone, right?
You're trying to rationalize with the irrational. I mean, they only see it one way. They don't see it your way. So to be able to convince him that, oh, no, the light is good.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, it's when he's ready, we can get rid of him, but he's not ready, and I can't force him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it, you know? And so, in the meantime, and remember, you're the one with the body, and you're the one in control.
All right. Well, on that note, we invite you to join us for our next episode, because we're going to bring in Sean Galushka, who plays Ewald in Primrose Lane. He plays this dark character. And he has a really interesting personal story and professional story through the course of the film. So please join us next week. We'll introduce you to Sean and talk more about this darkness and how it's impacted us through our filming experience and how we're going to wrangle it in the future. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
And real quick, Pamela, where can they find you?
Oh, thehollywoodsage.com. It's my blog and my website, all at the same place, the other way around, yeah.
Any writers are out there probably now riveted to hear how you answer the next question I'm going to ask you, which is, you know, because we've had this experience just even in studio through these podcast series of this entity, according to you, revisiting us several times, being very determined to interfere, and he's never pleasant, and he's succeeded, unfortunately, in interfering at points. So And you've talked about not giving them a thought, not giving them fear, not giving them power or energy. So what does that mean, writers who are writing something, these dark characters, because this guy's a whole season of dealing with this dude. And he is giving him further energy, not just on writing, but the production and actor who is playing this role. Guide us a little bit. Tell us, how do you manage that? And what are we doing? What is our responsibility in that? What are we lending to that darkness by going there?
Well, you saw the darkness.
Yes, Heath Ledger died during that production.
It was because that character was very dark. And he, in order to do the phenomenal job he did, he had to get his kind-hearted, sweet, a normal soul out of the way and let the darkness kind of engulf him. And it's this, and then it ended up